Thanks, Eric. And yeah, gentlemen, sorry I'm behind a little bit. I know some of y'all come from further than Irondale is. So that glorious French suburb of Mountain Brook, Arondelet, as I like to refer to it. But it's not that far out. Maybe, I don't know, I just lost some time somewhere in trying to find something this morning that, you know, you can't find when you kids misplace it or you misplace it yourself. So, but looking forward to working through Colossians with you guys. We're going to be Colossians 2. And what Eric didn't mention as well, just as we pray for Eric, Eric's, yeah, thanks for mentioning your mother-in-law, Eric, but you know, the weight and the burden of now caring for Tiff's brother will probably fall on Eric and Tiff. And then, so we can pray for Eric and Tiffany as they carry that and transition to that. And then also Eric's son, Luke, got injured in the game Friday night, first drive. He was busting loose and having a great game, but then sprained his AC joint. Is that right, Eric? And his shoulder. So pray for Luke, and this Luke would have a quick recovery as well. And Briarwood needs him on that football field. He is a difference maker, without a doubt, but he needs to heal. So just pray for wisdom in that as well, that the doctors would have wisdom. So we'll be praying for you, Eric. Colossians 2, if I can get there in my Bible real quick. I didn't have it marked. And this is a new Bible. I thought that these type Bibles were just for you kind of men, you men, but I got a large print Bible this week. I thought it was going to be a little longer before I had to do that. I used to see them in the bookstore and chuckle. I was like, who needs a large print Bible? Well, I do, evidently. And so, hey, I can see it good. It's nice. I don't have to pull it way far away. I know my time's coming where I might have to get a larger print. I don't know if they make larger print Bibles, but they make a large print. Yeah, glasses. Yeah. I've been starting to use some reading glasses at night. Oh, didn't think I was going to be there yet. But Colossians 2, 6 through 15, we're going to see really in this, Paul is reminding them of Christ's fullness and therefore their fullness in Christ. He's reminding them of Christ's supremacy, which is what he has been reminding them all along. And he's reminding them of Christ's sufficiency. Because you are full in Christ, therefore Christ is sufficient. Christ is sufficient for all of life and godliness. And that's what we hear in other parts of the Bible as well, that Christ, in Christ, God has given us all we need for life and godliness. And he's wanting the church at Colossae to understand that because they are being lured away by some heretical teaching, the Colossian heresy. We don't know exactly what all it was, but we can get a little bit of an insight in here. Whatever it was, whatever it entailed, it was trying to pull people away from Christ, that Christ wasn't full enough, or that Christ wouldn't satisfy them enough, that he was good, it was great, but not quite enough. It's kind of like when we went to Thailand. I've gone to Thailand twice doing ministry over there, and you would get into a cab, and you would see a cross, and you're like, man, this guy's a Christian. But then you would see a little Buddha as well. You would see a little something else as well. It was something else. It was like, hey, okay, I will, that God that you worship, okay, I'll give some shout outs to him, but I'm also going to give some shout outs to you because if he's not enough, then I want this God to really cover me over here. Or I want this God to cover me over here. And when you get into a cab in Bangkok, you want as much of God's covering over that cab as you can get. Even though you know that those are false gods, you're like, that one true God, Lord, please let us get there safely. I had to get in a cab once and go to the hospital. And when my buddy mentioned hospital to the cabbie, his eyes lit up as like an excuse to put on his flashers and go really fast. And he got us there. He got us there safe. We went really fast and really crazy. So I was thankful for the one true God supremacy in that cab and over that cab when we went to the hospital that day. But Paul is wanting them to see this about Christ, that he is sufficient, that you need nothing else, and do not be allured away to other things. So, Colossians 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So, Lord, we pray again that you would make your word active, powerful, effective as we walk through it now. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak in Christ's name. Amen. So Paul had just mentioned that he was rejoicing to see the Colossians have a firm faith in Christ and an orderly faith. That's what verse 5 says. And he says, therefore, okay, since you have good order and firm faith in Christ, and I'm encouraged by that, so just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive him? You received him by grace. You received him by grace through faith. And therefore, continue walking in Christ by grace through faith, understanding his grace is sufficient to strengthen you, to empower you. His grace given to us through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, one that equips us, one that empowers us. Again, you have all that you need by his grace. Now, believe that by faith. By faith, believe that. Continue trusting in him. Don't be lured away. So you have received Christ Jesus, and you received him as Lord, as supreme, as authority. Don't neglect his lordship in your life. Continue to surrender to him. Not only did you receive him by grace through faith, you also received him with a childlike faith that in some regard was a simple faith. It simply rested in his sufficiency. So now, don't think that you can go beyond his sufficiency, because there is nothing beyond his sufficiency, because he is full, he is sufficient. So continue resting in him, and then walk in him. So we don't, it's a rest that is secured by him, but it's not a rest that is lazy in him, okay? It's not, when we talk about resting in Christ, that's not lazy. We're resting in his finished work for our salvation. But now we're working out our salvation in fear and trembling. We work out what he has worked in, and we walk that out as well. And so we're never standing still and stagnating in Christ. No, we're walking in Christ. We're walking in his love. We're walking in a manner worthy of the gospel. If you read through Ephesians, you'll see Paul talking about how we are to walk as Christians. It's an active faith. It's a lived out faith. James talks about that. It's a faith that shows itself through the works of grace through our life. And so we engage with Christ and we walk forward with Christ. And we know that in Christ we will walk and even run and not grow weary. As Isaiah talks about, that we will rise up on wings of eagles and we can endure. But it's moving forward. It's not slouching back. is continuing to move forward, continuing to be active, because that body in motion stays in motion. And the older you get, the more you realize, I need to move. I need to be active. I need to be continuing to grow. And the one way that I continue to grow as a man is to walk in Christ. He's not talking about walking in your own flesh, trying to satisfy God. No, you walk in Christ, having Christ already satisfying God. So you not only walk in Him, but you are rooted and built up in Him. You're abiding in Him. You stay connected to Him. You allow your foundation to be Him. You send your roots deep down into Him. You send roots deep as you water and you, as you've cultivated the soil and you water the soil and you fertilize the soil so that roots can go deep. If any of you have ever planted a garden, if any of you have ever planted a tree, you know that that soil needs to be cultivated. It needs to be good soil so that those, that seed can take root. And then that seed take root, you got to water it. You got to fertilize it, and you got to give it sun. And as it does that, it grows. It grows. As you tend the condition of your heart with the Word of God, with the means of grace that He's given you, being around the people of God, fellowshipping with the people of God, worshiping, as you use the means of grace to water and fertilize the roots of your heart, they will go deep down into Christ. And the deeper those roots go, then you can be built up in Him as well. The deeper those roots, the stronger you're going to go up. The secure that foundation, the stronger that building can be built up. And so be rooted in Christ, be built up in Christ. So you've received Christ, so now walk in Christ. Be rooted in Christ, be built up in Christ, and be established in the faith. Not immature, but established, strong, vibrant. And you can't be established unless you are being built up, unless you're growing. You can't grow unless you're rooted. Okay? So be rooted in Christ. You've received Him by grace through faith, so walk with Him by grace through faith. Be rooted in Him by grace through faith. Be built up in Him by grace through faith, and be established in Him by grace and through faith. Just as you were taught, and abounding in thanksgiving. Just as you were taught, we need to be taught the Word of God. That's why it's important to show up and take advantage of that means of grace. When the Word of God is being proclaimed, when the Word of God is being taught, show up and realize that I need to be taught God's Word. I need to be taught God's Word by the ultimate teacher, the Holy Spirit, as I spend time in His Word myself. And then I need to be taught by His under-shepherds, those pastors and teachers that God has given us to equip the saints for the work of ministry. I need to maximize those means of grace in my life. And as I do all of this, then I abound in thanksgiving, realizing what He has done for me, realizing that I am not only saved by Him, not only set apart by Him, but I'm secured by Him as well. So therefore, I abound in thanksgiving of Him. I rejoice in the good work that He has started and has promised to carry out to completion. And because the things that you're thankful for are the things that you're probably not quickly going to leave. If I'm thankful for this gift of God's grace, I want to hold on to that gift. I don't want to leave that gift. When we are grateful for something, we cling to that thing. We protect that thing. We treasure that thing. We hold on to that thing. So be thankful for the gift of your salvation. Be thankful for the beauty of the gospel. And be thankful for the call that He's given you to abide in Him. Really, that verses 6 and following is verses 6 and 7 is basically saying the same thing as all the chapter of John 15. Abide in Him. When you abide in Christ, you will bear much fruit. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. So continue abiding in Him. And then 8, a warning. See to it that no one takes you captive, that no one robs you, that no one holds you captive and takes you captive by philosophy, by the so-called wisdom of the world. And empty deceit, realizing that the wisdom of the world is simply empty deceit. It's deception given by the master deceiver himself trying to lure you away from the simplicity of Christ. And in one hand, you know, the simplicity of the gospel. You're saved by grace through faith. And now, not simple in not saying that in a bad way, saying that in a glorious way. Because as the gospel is simple, it is also glorious, it's profound. But don't be lured away and robbed by the philosophies of this world, by the empty deceit of this world, according to human tradition, or according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So don't be held captive by the so-called wisdom of the world. Understand, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so any philosophy, any quote-unquote wisdom that comes from the world is ultimately going to do those things, going to kill, steal, or destroy. But Christ came that we might have life and have it to the full, have it in abundance. And so don't be allured away and captivated by the philosophies of the world. Instead, be captivated by Christ. So you think about your wife when you first met her, and how in many regards she captivated your heart. I remember when I was on staff with Campus Outreach down in Valdosta, Georgia, and we had this little church, Westminster Presbyterian Church. We were attending there. Campus Outreach was there. And for some crazy, unbeknown reason to me still to this day, I was an unmarried man. I wasn't even dating anyone. And the pastor asked me to teach Song of Solomon to Sunday school class. And I was like, what business do I have teaching Song of Solomon to the whole church? Because the whole church met in Sunday school together. And so there was college students out there. There was some youth out there. There was everything from like high schoolers to senior citizens out here. And it's not big. We met in the fellowship hall and I'm teaching Song of Solomon. I'm like, what am I doing? And so I'm in the kitchen that led into the fellowship hall. And I'm in this kitchen going over my notes, and this girl walks in and looked my head up, and I'm like, wow, she's attractive. She was with a friend of mine. She'd come to town to visit this friend and another friend, and they had gone, four friends had gone on a date on Saturday night, and she was one of those girls, and she comes in the kitchen, and I notice her, and then she's sitting out there while I'm teaching Song of Solomon. I'm trying not to look at her. I'm trying to just think about my notes and not think about her at all as I'm teaching, and I'm like, what am I doing teaching this book? I mean, then afterwards, though, we go to lunch, and a bunch of students sit by each other, and she ends up sitting by me, or either maybe I end up sitting by her. And we have a great conversation. And then she leaves, and everybody around me started, you know, giving me a hard time. Like, hey, y'all look like y'all had a good time. And she was, even in that short amount of time, she was captivating my heart. And I wanted to spend time with her. She lived 3 hours away. But I wanted to call her. I wanted to connect with her. I wanted to drive 3 hours away and see her and spend time with her. And that's how it is when your heart is captivated by something. You desire to look at it. You long for it. You want to spend time with it. Think about that romance with your wife when she captivated your heart. And this is the same thing. We are not to be lured away by the things of the world, but we are to be lured away to Christ and captivated by Him, longing to be in His presence, longing to dwell with Him. So see to it that you are captivated by Christ. Be intentional in being captivated by Christ. Verse 9, For in Him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Okay, you don't need to go anywhere else to be satisfied. You don't need to go anywhere else to find fullness. When my sons come, sometimes they'll come in, my oldest son, he'll come in from the barn. Like they'll have pizza at the barn, okay, and he'll eat all the pizza, and then like we go home. It's only been 30 minutes, and he says, "I'm hungry," and he's like you just ate pizza, but it's like his divine birthright to have a bowl of cereal again before he goes to bed. I'm like, "You just ate pizza," and because evidently the pizza didn't satisfy him, so he's got to have a bowl of cereal, and that won't satisfy him, so he's got to have two bowls of cereal, And that's, you know, and that's not it with Christ, though. Christ will satisfy and fulfill you. You don't need anything else. You don't need the cereals of the world or the pizzas of the world. You just find fullness in Him. And He satisfies you, and you know, and you don't need to go to other things. So in Christ, in Him, there is fullness. The whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. So any of this philosophy that comes from the world, any of these things that maybe talks about angels or anything that's pulling you away to worship them, Christ is the head of all of that. And in Him you are full. Don't go seeking fullness in other things. Don't go be captivated by other things. Cling to Him. Abide in Him. So in Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. So Christ is the one who has come, and He has redeemed your heart. Your issue is your heart. Your heart longs to find fullness in other things. But in Christ, you are full, and He has taken out the heart of stone and give you the heart of flesh. He has circumcised your inner man, and He has cleansed you as you have been baptized with Him. He has washed you and purified you so that you can now stand before God, covered in Him, cleansed by His blood. You don't need the religious philosophies of the world. You don't need to go to anything else. And you have found life in Him, because you once were dead. Verse 13, and you who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him. So you were once dead. You were alienated from Him. You were covered in the shame and the guilt of your sin. But you've been cleansed through His washing, His baptism. You've been purified through His circumcision. What hands couldn't do, what man couldn't do, Christ has done for you. So rest in Him and then live and walk in His fullness. And He made you alive, having forgiven us all our trespasses. He has forgiven you by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. When someone in this context was claimed guilty, and you see this in Christ as well, when Christ was on the cross, they put a sign above His head that showed everybody His crimes. And that's what they did in this time. And He says here, hey, this debt of your crime which stood against you and has been made known in God's courtroom against you, Christ has canceled that debt. He has forgiven you of that debt, even with its legal demands. Its demands of death. To hold you accountable for your crimes, the wages of sin is death. What you have earned because of your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. As He has canceled this debt, this record of debt that stood against you with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. So not only can they no longer accuse you, but they now have been captured by Christ. Christ was victor over them in His resurrection. They thought they had won the battle when He was on the cross. They thought they had won the battle when He breathed His last breath. But we know that He busted the gates of hell and He sets the captives free. We know that He rules and reigns over all things and that He is triumphant. And now He is leading us in this triumphal procession. Just as kings who captured lands would bring all that they had captured behind them in a triumphant parade back to their homeland, they would capture and conquer and chain those who were captive and lead them. Christ has bound the strong man. He has captured him, and now we are part of His triumphal victory processional parade. So you have fullness in Christ. Don't go give yourself to other things or anyone else. Abide in Him, bear His fruit, abound in thanksgiving, and walk in His fullness. Understanding that you need nothing else when it comes to salvation, whether that be your justification, your sanctification. Walk in Christ in His fullness. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much to be able to see that we have been made alive in Christ, that we once were dead in trespasses and sins. We once stood guilty before Your throne, but Christ has conquered, He has redeemed, He has forgiven, and now He has invited us into Him. We have received Him. Lord, that's a gift. We receive gifts. We didn't go and get Him on our own, but we've received Him by grace through faith. May we continue be rooted and built up in You, Jesus. May we continue walking in You. May we continue rejoicing in You. And may we understand that in You we are full. We are satisfied. And You have done a great work, and You promise to carry out that great work. So Jesus, let our eyes always be fixed upon You as You have captivated our hearts. May You captivate our minds. May You captivate our whole being. And may we rejoice in Your beauty and Your glory. In Christ's name, amen.